the swarm that we just handed out, Hador, the Maimer Hador from Rav Kook, these were donated, it must be 10 years ago, by Shimmy Klein. And there was a half minute then to do this Maimer, but it's been postponed a little bit. I felt it was important for us to learn Eretz HaTshuva, Eretz HaTorah. So, trying to go in order. So the kuntres belongs to the individual who has it. I would just ask the following. This is what's happened in the past, that someone comes for a week and then they keep the kuntres, and then in the future nobody else has them. So I don't know, it's hard to determine such a thing, whether you're an olech chadash, a tourist. I don't know what the status is, but if you're not going to stay, if you're not going to come, then please bring them back. It's not a gift to take home. We're learning it here, and there are other people that come, and we need to have some here to be able to use. So only if you intend on coming to the shiur regularly. So if there's chevri here that somebody just fell, please don't be going back. Then leave them with us here. Don't take them to Eretz Yisrael. We need them here. I don't know if we're going to get to the actual maimer today. Inside, I want to give a hakdama. This is a remarkable maimer. It was written with Rav Kook's blood, not with ink. It was mamash written with his blood, and it requires a bit of hakdama, of an introduction. I had originally intended to spend a little bit more time with the Eretz HaTorah, following up with some things, but the truth is that this maimer of Hador is the sequel to what we've been learning. But it really requires some historical background. I don't, not usually Isaac so much on that, but here it's very urgent, because the Maimer Hador was written as a response to what Rav Kook saw as the greatest need of the generation. I mean, everything he wrote was like that, but much of what he wrote was also iyunim, thoughts that he had by way of his learning Torah and so on. This is a cry, mamashin, a cry from Rav Kook to the generation, to reach out to the generation, and therefore we have to talk a little bit about Hador, about the generation. And we have to begin also with a very, very important question regarding the whole tachlis of learning this maimer at this point. It was in the year Tafrei Samach Dalet. Thank you. Tafrei Samach Dalet, 1904. It was when the second Aliyah took place. The second Aliyah, 1904. And one of the most illustrious of those who were returning to Eretz Yisrael was Rav Kook. And you all know that at that time Rav Kook was asked, and that's why he came, was asked to be the Rav of Yafo and the surrounding Moshavas, the surrounding communities. Yafo in those days was a very, very choshev, a very, very important community in Eretz Yisrael, Yafo. 2 years after he arrived, in the year 1906, he published the Sefer Ikvei Hatzon, and in the Sefer Ikvei Hatzon is this Maimer Hador. So those who have the set of Rav Kook's Swarm, the white Swarm, the set, in the Ikvei Hatzon is the Maimer Hador. The Maile here is that it has a couple of comments that are not particularly valuable, but somewhat helpful, we'll see. And the Nikud and the vowelization and so on makes it easier to read. So this was published in 1906, Zikvei Hatzon. So we're talking about a generation of over 100 years ago. What was the tachlis of the maimer? So as I mentioned, Rav Kook said the tachlis was Leman Nuchal Latzeis LeEzroso. In order that we can go and help the generation, we must understand what's hurting the generation. So the question, of course, is 100 plus years later, are we still suffering in this way? Do we still hear in Rav Kook's voice the urgency of his call to the generation? Bekitzer, is it still relevant? Is this relevant? Is the Hador, the generation that Rav Kook was addressing, does that resonate with our generation? Is that our generation as well? As we're going to see in a few minutes, there are many, many, many differences, obviously, on a very deep level, between our generation and the generation at the beginning of the 20th century. So let's talk a little bit about that door. Who was Rav Kook's audience? What was happening? Again, I don't usually do this, but I feel that otherwise it's impossible to feel the urgency of the Maimon. At that time, despite the fact that the tremendous efforts that were being made by Anshei Kodesh, by great tzaddikim, both in Europe and in Eretz Yisrael, to encourage, to inspire Jews to leave Europe and to come to Eretz Yisrael, Lamaise, as you all know, and this is something which has happened many times in history, most of the nation, of course, did not return. The vast majority remained in Golos. And even the small yeshuv at that time, the small community of Jews that lived in Eretz Yisrael, were financially dependent upon the Jews in Golos. They lived due to the chalukah. There was a tax in Jewish communities throughout the diaspora, and money was sent to the Jews of Eretz Yisrael. And even those Jews who were more of the chalutzim at that time, pioneers, who left Yerushalayim, Tveria, Tzvas, and so on, and were settling in some of the agricultural communities, the Moshavot, were supported by people such as Rothschild and others like him, other tzaddikim, gvirim. And that's how they were living. Suddenly, there were new koiches. There were new koiches, powerful, powerful koiches, that on the surface appeared to have been motivated completely. Or I shouldn't say completely, but to a large extent, by secular Jews, tremendous koiches, and suddenly this call to return to Eretz Yisrael and to build the land took center stage in many, many parts of Klal Yisrael, in Europe, even in some way in some of the Svardasha communities. At the same time, you all know that the whole process of the Haskalah that had started 200 years earlier, plus the secularization of the Jews of Europe, was in full force. And many, many, many left the yeshiva, leaving the yeshivas. And when they left the yeshivas, it wasn't like nowadays when a person leaves the yeshiva, he remains an Orthodox Jew, goes to work, so on, goes to school. In those days, leaving the yeshiva, leaving the shtetl, and so on, for the most part meant the abandonment of Yiddishkeit altogether. After the Dreyfus affair, which I'm not going to go into that. I'm assuming that you have, that all of you are familiar with the Avla that took place at that time. After Dreyfus in France, the Halmaisa there, and the resurgence of good old-fashioned anti-Semitism, some of which is we're seeing now, Herzl, Theodor Herzl, established the modern, could say established the modern Zionist movement with other assimilated Jews. Herzl was a completely assimilated Jew. We know from his memoirs that he celebrated Christmas. You know, there are many streets named after him. But he had a Jewish heart. He had a warm Jewish heart. Zayid. I'm not going to evaluate who he was or what his intentions were. But there's no question that him and many, many other Jews were terrified by the new anti-Semitism that had surfaced. And Jews were being encouraged to leave the diaspora, to leave Galus. And the vast majority of those who returned to Eretz Yisrael were secular Jews, for the most part, the children, certainly the grandchildren, are very religious Jews. They came with the intention to create not only a safe haven in Eretz Yisrael, but to create a new Jew, a new tzur of a Yid. A new tzur of a Yid, a Jew who would be completely distinct and separate from the Jew of Galus, from the Jew of the Shtetl. Obviously, this caused a tremendous hisnagdus, there's a tremendous opposition by the religious Jews in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz Laaretz. On the deepest, deepest level, it caused a horrible rift between parents and children, between the old generation and the young generation, between those who were guarding the Messiah, guarding the traditions, and the children who had abandoned the traditions and were filled with the light of Eretz Yisrael and with the enthusiasm, with an excitement, and with a new vibrancy to turn their backs on everything that wasn't Galus and all that Galus meant, and to come to establish a Jewish presence in Eretz Yisrael that would be completely devoid of Shmiras HaMitzvos, that would be without Torah Mitzvos. And there was nobody who was either capable of or interested in building a bridge to connect those two worlds of the old generation and the new generation. And for the most part, the old generation, as far as religion was concerned, had given up on the new generation. And the new generation had given up on the old generation understanding and recognizing that things had changed and the time had come for change. So when we look at old pictures from Russia, Poland, so on, from those years, so you'll always see in the front row some grandfather, long white beard, and the booby with a shmata. You could only barely see her eyes and her nose, and wearing a, and then you see the rest of the chaver uncovered. And this was not a Yotzei Min HaKlal. This was typical, certainly in Lithuania and Russia, much less so in the Hasidic strongholds, but it was typical of what was going on in Europe at that time. So those who look back romantically at the Altaheim, and everything was gewaldig in the Altaheim, as far as the Yiddish tribe is concerned, it was not gewaldig in the Altaheim. where there was holiness, it was very intense. Where there was holiness, it was very, very intense. But where there wasn't holiness, it was also very intense. So that was the door. We'll talk more about the generation as we go along. That was Hador, the generation that Rav Kook was speaking to. Rav Kook wanted to be that bridge, to be able to hold together the old and the new, the parents and the children. And in this maimer, and in other tiras of Rav Kook, but particularly in this maimer, Rav Kook insisted that even though, as far as the behavior of the new generation is concerned, this generation, the door, is very, very vite, very, very far from Torah of Mitzvahs, from Yerushalayim, from Avedis Hashem, on the surface. And they've completely disengaged from any Davish of Kedusha. They don't want to have a Shaychus to Kedusha. I'm not saying that not to put on Rabbeinu Thomas Tilm, which is itself a shocking thing. Bechlal not Yom Kippur, not Shoshana Gornish. Nothing. But Rav Kook insisted that Be'emes, in this generation, in the door of his time, of that young generation, the Or Hagul, the light of redemption, is shining brightly. Rav Kook believed, and we've already seen this in all that we've learned from him, Rav Kook believed, and of course was correct in his evaluation, that the abandonment that was taking place, the netisha, the abandonment of Torah mitzvahs, the running away from the Messiah of the parents and the grandparents that was taking place, was not the result of katnus. Was not the result of smallness, of katnus, of pettiness. Was not even, in his opinion, the result of a loss of faith. Just the opposite. Rav Kook believed that the generation, the Dor, was a generation that, with all of the problems that we'll talk about in a few minutes, the generation was a generation of unbelievable, immeasurable godless, of greatness. But that greatness was not manifested, nor was it expressed in the terminology that the old generation was accustomed to, or in the behavior that the old generation was accustomed to. But rather, the godless was expressed in the longing of the generation to return to a healthy, normal life. Leaving Shemitz HaMitzvahs aside for a second, to return to a healthy life in our own country. Rav Kook said that the generation, for a long time, his generation and the generations before, had been asking good questions. And the chadorim that they were raised in, the schools, the cheders, the families that they were raised in, did not answer the questions. Not only did they not answer the questions, but they were suspected of not being sincere. They were treated as second-class citizens because of the questions. And they were seen as rebellious, self-centered, and so on. And as heretics, because of the questions. The Rav Kook was not only speaking about the Chalutzim, and that's a very important point, and we'll talk about it a lot. Many people think that he went to visit the Chalutzim, of course we know that, and he spent a lot of time with the pioneers that were working the land. Rav Kook was speaking about his Sairus that had been taking place for a while. Really, from the time after Chemaniki Yimach Shemai, from the time of the Holy Light of the Baal Shem Tov, the light of the 7 days of creation came and was revealed in the world, the light of the Grah, that Hashem sent that light into the world, of those tzaddikim into the world, Davke after the failure of Shabbat Yimach Shemai, and the disappointment and the tzibrochenkeit of the redemption that could have been, that should have been, and that wasn't. And since that time, as you know, the Zohar Kodesh reveals that there was a light that was sent into the world, and the heavens opened up at that time, there was a tremendous hisayus within Klal Yisrael. And there were new koiches, powerful and frightening koiches that were bubbling and were beginning to surface. The koiches were manifested not only in the revelation of the secrets of Torah, of Pnimius HaTorah, we spoke a lot about in Ayus HaTorah, the Derech HaBaal Shem, the Ramchal, the Baal Shem, the Grah, and so on. But in science, culture, and Bechlal, with a sudden feeling of urgency to normalize Jewish life, to get out of the ghetto, to become financially self-sufficient, to be independent. In general, Rav Kook spoke about the Gvuras Achayim, the Hisgabrus of Chayim, the resurgence of life, a Tchia, some sort of a Tchia, a resurrection, a return to life that was taking place. But it was necessary for the Gedolei Hador, and this is where we ended in Ayus HaTorah. It was necessary for the Gedolei Hador, to be meroimim, to understand that the etzim of the generation is holy and is pure, is neshamadik, is seeking life, is looking for meaning, is looking for answers, for pnimius. And instead of slapping the generation on the face and telling them they're a bunch of chutzofim, and a bunch of oisvavs and lowlives and mechalalei Shabbos and so on, instead, Rav Kook said that it's the responsibility of the Gedolei Hador to recognize these koiches and to lift these koiches out of the present state of chol, of the profane and secular that they were in, and to return these koiches to the rightful place, to the place where they came from originally, which is the Jewish soul, Nishmas Yisrael. Therefore, when Rav Kook would look at these young people, at the generation, he saw them very differently than the parents and grandparents did. Whereas the old Yeshuv in Eretz Yisrael and the old guard in Chutz Laretz saw these young people, these secular young people, as the greatest threat to Yiddishkeit. Rav Kook saw in these young people the fulfillment of all of the words of the Nevi'im, of the prophets. He saw in them the fulfillment of all of the words of the Nevi'im. Of course, unfinished, unrefined, with a great amount of work that needs to be done on the part of the Gedolei Hador, of the Talmidei Chacham of the generation. And therefore, instead of judging the generation in a shallow and superficial way, in the Maamar Hador, Rav Kook says we must analyze, we must dissect the generation and understand as a result of that that the she'ifas, the yearnings, the longings of the new generation are different than the old generation. And whereas the old generation was settled in what we learned in Eretz Torah is the Torah of Chutz Laaretz, the Torah of Bavel. The Torah of Bavel that we learned throughout the Eretz Torah is focused on the prat, remember? On the individual. That individual's learning, that individual's davening, the individual's shmiras ha-mitzvahs, and so on. The survival of the individual in countries that were hostile, dangerous, and so on. The new generation, that was a generation that was filled with the aura of redemption, with godless Hanishama, was a generation that was seeking Teres Eretz Yisrael, that was longing to leave Bavel, that was speaking a new language. The language was no longer the language of just the prat, the individual. I've been talking about this a lot the last few months, but somebody, I don't know who told me, it was either somebody, maybe my son-in-law, or one of the chaver here, said that there was a cheder in the neighborhood in Yerushalayim, and maybe it wasn't Yerushalayim, but in Eretz Yisrael, and they were working for a few weeks on making signs to campaign for somebody for something. And they took up a lot of time from learning. And they, you were telling this? I heard this from a few people. So things like this have been going on. And they were involved in this campaign, or whatever it was, excited about it, and the kids were all hyped up over it. And the whole thing was about a floor in the cheder, right? That if he wins, or you said that your children said, that if this guy wins, then they'll get a new floor in the cheder. That's the mentality of the old generation. Not that we don't want them to have a new floor. We'd love to have a new floor. And if they could have five new floors and a state-of-the-art gym and a pool, and that'd be great. But as I mentioned over the last few weeks, this was the geula for the old generation. We're going to get another kindlach. This is our Messiah. This guy who's running, who knows, anybody who's in politics and themselves is suspect of being a criminal. This person who is running is the Messiah, not just suspect. Zicher. This person who is running is the Messiah. He has come to redeem us from having two floors. We're now going to have three floors. And of course that means we're going to be able to learn more Torah, we're going to be able to run around and break more things and be happy and so on. The Torah of Bavel. Again, this is something which those who learned with us the Eretz Torah hear this very clearly. The Torah of the Prat. People talk about this Shavuos night the last few years also. The Pilpul. Was a world that the new generation, to a large extent, was finished with, did not want. The new generation was speaking the language of the Klal, of Am Yisrael, the nation of Israel, the Jewish people. The new generation was no longer just speaking about Kodesh and what can we do what can we do to squeeze out another floor in the cheder so there could be a little bit more kedusha? The new generation was talking about kodesh and chol, holy and profane, chomer, physical life, and ruach, spiritual life. Over the years, we've spoken about this a number of times. How when Rav Kook insisted that the children, that the boys in cheder have some time to exercise, he was reviled. There were signs up all over Yerushalayim that the Greek chief rabbi has decreed the decree of the Yevanim, the Greeks of Hanukkah, that the Jews are now to engage in sports like the Olympics and so on. And Rav Kook was saying is, the kids have to get some fresh air. It's not working out. They're cooking inside. There's a lot of koach, there's a lot of life, and it's being squashed and repressed, and their boys are dying. The boys are dying. That's before the days of the internet. That's before the days of Motzei Shabbos partying, or Leil Shabbos partying with alcohol. And Rav Kook was talking about getting a little bit of fresh air, going outside, rolling a little ball around, which was seen as something which was radical and a danger to Yiddishkeit. And now everybody laughs at this, even in the firm world. Well, not everybody, there's still a few holdouts. But for the most part, it's understood that that's not possible to continue that way. And so Rav Kook spoke about sanctifying all that was chol, all that was secular. Sanctifying literature, sanctifying art, sanctifying sports. Kodesh Mechol. The Torah of the fathers in that generation, the Dor, that Rav Kook was speaking to, the Torah of the fathers was a Torah of the Prat, of the individual surviving. Like when we meet now Jews that were in Russia, that grew up in Russia. There are Russian communities in Eretz Yisrael, here, Russian Jews. I'm not talking about the young people. They're having a tremendous crisis in their community as well, the young and the old. But the old generation that grew up under the communists was a generation that consisted of lonely individuals who were desperately trying to find another cutback, to get another cutback, had to get somehow past the Kremlin and to find another morsel of food for their children. The new floor in the cheder. It was a generation that was completely submerged in the individual. For good reasons. There's a taina, but that's the metzius of Bavel. That was the metzius of Bavel. Just to survive is a noble fight. Just to survive. Just to get by. This mahalach of groveling in the dirt and begging the parrots for another kopek, for another penny, drove the young generation was part of what drove the young generation to a merit, to a revolution. It brought to a revolution, it brought to kfira, to heresy, to rejection of Yiddishkeit. The poverty, the misery, the grind of life, the inability that the children saw in their fathers and their grandfathers to lift themselves up out of the schmutz, the mud, the blatter of the shtetl. And having to get on their knees to beg some anti-Semite for a couple of pennies. Not to be able to own your own land. Not to be able to stand up tall. to be drooped over. Everything. The way of eating, the types of foods that we eat, lack of exercise and health. The young generation, to a large extent, had had it. And with the old lifestyle of Bavel, the new generation identified Torah mitzvahs as the cause that was preventing the generation from moving forward. Ki'ilu, it's Yiddishkeit that is old-fashioned. Ki'ilu, it's Yiddishkeit that's responsible for preventing the Jews joining the rest of mankind and moving forward into a more healthy, more civilized type of existence. They blamed Yiddishkeit for anti-Semitism. We look so different. The same shyness, everything we do is different. The Golus Jew is the Golus Jew. We cause the Goyim to hate us. Torah mitzvahs is the cause of hatred. Chalila. The whole image of the Jew of Golus with the beard and payas, with 12 layers of clothing in the summer. The whole image the new generation saw as being an image that itself engendered more and more anti-Semitism. This is only talking for a few minutes, the rift between the old generation and the new generation. Rav Kook believed that he was sent from Shemayim to make a bridge, to show the old generation that the children are great and that they're holy. That they're great, they're holy, they're filled with life and with promise. That these could be the greatest, greatest, greatest tzaddikim if we don't mess them up, if we don't lose them. If we learn to understand their language, if we learn to speak to them. If we learn to answer their questions, or to at least acknowledge that the questions are good questions, even if we don't have the answers. Of course, Rav Kook believed that the answers are all to be found in Pnimiyas HaTorah, in the inner light of Torah. And Rav Kook was calling out to the young generation who adored him, because in him they saw a person who understood them. And despite the beard and payas, and the long coat down to the floor, they saw in Rav Kook a thoroughly modern man. You thought I was going to say Millie, right? A thoroughly modern man who understood European culture, who, although he wore the disguise of the old generation, was different from the fathers and the grandfathers that they knew, and who went out and spoke to them, spent time with them, invited them in, treated them with respect, with great love, answered their questions. So if Cook believed that the time had come, and he saw himself as being sent as a shliach to lead this effort to create a bridge between the old and new. And we ended Erev HaTorah with Rav Kook's call to the Talmidei Chacham of Eretz Yisrael to join him. If the trip that he had taken with Rav Chaim Zonnenfeld to the Yishuvim, if that Ruach, if the Ruach that brought that trip about had been able to continue, if not, as always, because of the Kanoim in Yerushalayim and other people in other places, if that Mahalach had been able to continue, Rav Kook and Rav Chaim Zonnenfeld would have turned over the entire Eretz Yisrael, the whole Eretz Yisrael. And that would have reverberated in Golus as well. So the generation that Rav Kook was speaking to was one in which he saw what he called HaKoach HaMada'i VaHa'idiyeli Paretz V'Ola. HaKoach HaMada'i, the Koach of science. VaHa'idiyeli, in the Koach of idealism. He said they were idealistic people. The young generation was very idealistic. Idealistic. Parates va'ola, he said, this koach hamada'i of understanding, of knowing, and of idealism was parates va'ola, was breaking out and was ascending, was rising. Rigshei ha'chesed ha'yosha v'hamishpat. Feelings of chesed, of loving kindness, of doing for Jews, of doing for the Jewish people, not just for yourself. And not just for your little chevra, but for Am Yisrael. Rigshei ha-chesed ha-yosha. Yashus, erlichkeit. V'hamishpat, and justice. Oilum u'mizgabim, he says, are getting stronger in the young generation. The demand for honesty. Where does the dishonesty come from? From a number of places, but to a large extent, this is why I was talking about Russian Jews. Those who had to live in that way obviously had to beat the system, because Jews couldn't survive in the system, because the system was hostile to Jews. The system was made life impossible for Jews. So the system of Bavel, wherever that Bavel was, most recently it was in Russia. But the system of Bavel created dishonest Jews, led to dishonesty, where in order to survive, Jews had to descend into unethical types of behavior, to find ways to circumvent the system. Do you ever meet Jews like that nowadays? The only reason you're thinking of giving a crooked answer is because we've been affected by all of that. That's why we wouldn't give an honest answer. The problem, of course, now in Israel is that it's all country of Jews, so, like, what do you do? So it's not comfortable lying and cheating when it comes to other Jews. It becomes less comfortable to steal from Jews. But, if you have no choice, it's the world against the Jews. And since it's the world against the Jews, we learned how to survive, and in order to survive, you had to lie. We had to. So Rav Kook says, the new generation, Rigshei ha-chesed ha-yosh v'ha-mishpat oilum mizgabim. This is the new generation that you're all screaming that they're a bunch of heretics, and that they're kaifrim and rishayim. He says, the ruach of justice, the ruach of honesty, the ruach of erlichkeit, is very strong in the new generation. The ruach of Musar, of ethics, of moral, independent Jewish life is very, very strong in the new generation. Dor bal ruach gadol. Rav Kook said, Dor bal ruach gadol, it's a generation of bal ruach, of tremendous ruach. Bal ruach gadol. And he came to the conclusion, Knesset Yisrael, his na'ara l'tchiyah. He used the term Knesset Yisrael, which of course is the term that speaks about the true essence of Am Yisrael, Knesset Yisrael. His na'ara l'tchiyah has awoken, has come back to life. So whereas the old generation and most of the old Yeshuv and the Talmid Chacham were saying that this generation was dead and was lost and there's no hope, Rav Kook said just the opposite. Knesset Yisrael, he said, finally Knesset Yisrael, his na'ara l'tchiyah. And when he went out to the fields and he saw these Jews, these big Mechal Yishabas, Eichel Nevelis and Treifas, without any shirts on, working in the fields, he gave him a slap on the back and he saw in this tchiyas HaKadosh, the return of the Jewish people to life. again, in an imperfected state. But Bali Ruach Godel, people of great spirit. People who were no longer willing to accept the small life of the Prat, and who are no longer interested in taking orders from anti-Semites. This was the generation of a person such as Jabotinsky, people like Jabotinsky and Menachem Begin. This was their generation. This is the generation that Rav Kook was speaking to. Now, neither the Rebbe or the Talmud, Jabotinsky or Begin, were people that we would necessarily make shidduchim with for our children. As far as Shemiras HaMitzvos is concerned, although Menachem Begin certainly towards the end had become much, much, much more reconnected. And throughout his life he was very, very strong in Messiah and so on, but he wasn't a typical Orthodox Jew by any means. Jabotinsky for sure wasn't. But the Gevurah Saruach, the Gevurah Saruach was haflitic, was absolutely astonishing. And these people, the Ruach of Am Yisrael, of Knesset Yisrael, there was a word that Begin received from Jabotinsky that he used over and over and over. It was the word Hadar, not Hador. Hadar. How do you translate Hadar? Huh?
Majesty.
Beauty, majesty. Yeah. That's better. Majesty. Majesty. Wherever he went, he spoke to Jews about Hadar Yehudi, Jewish majesty, Jewish honor, Jewish covet. Begin would not grovel to the Goyim. And that's why they hated him, they despised him. The Ovi Ovis Atuma Carter. He couldn't be in the Dalet Amos of Menachem Begin. He was an anti-Semite. He's an anti-Semite. His true colors, of course, came out even back then, but now he's not even embarrassed. He couldn't be soivel an Eretz Yisrael Dikiyi. Do you understand? Because the Goyim were used to the Jews of Bavel. Yes, Mr. President. Yes, Mr. President. And here you had a man that said, don't tell me what Eretz Yisrael is, what the Jewish people need. We've been doing this for thousands of years before America was, thousands of years before America was in diapers, before there was such a thing as America. He said these things openly. And the Goyim either were very impressed and said, wow, this is a different language. We never heard Jews talk this way. But mostly, they despised him. They hated him. When the British were refusing to leave, and Menachem Begin was involved, as you know, was not just involved, was leading the underground revolution in Eretz Yisrael, and a couple of British had to be hanged on a tree. A little note. Every Jew that you kill, we're going to be taking one of your guys. They never heard that language. Jews were frightened. Goyim did not know what to make of that. The British left Eretz Yisrael. They were not going to leave because of Ben-Gurion's schmoozing, you understand. Ben-Gurion was very much the Golas Jew. Even though he was a big kaifer, Ben Gurion did not speak the language of Torah Eretz Yisrael. Even though he wrote a book on Tanakh, he wrote it without a yarmulke on. He was very far removed from the essence of what it means to be a Jew. Even though he himself did things to help Jews, I'm not saying Chas V'Shalom. But people like Begin and Jabotinsky were the kind of people that we're talking about, that Rav Kook was speaking about, where there was a tremendous tchiyah that was taking place, a revival of Jewish pride. Kaychas Achayim, 1 second. Tremendous, tremendous revival. But at the same time, had separated from the community of Shemir Samitsus. Yeah.
Wasn't that all coming from the nationalism that the whole world had come about in the 19th century, all that Hadar and everything? It was essentially like all of Europe. The Goyimus had that nationalism, that pride.
The difference is as follows. It's true, there was a ruach of nationalism, which Begin spoke a lot about, to make a distinction between, and Jabotinsky. They always spoke about making a distinction between non-Jewish nationalism and Jewish nationalism. That's the chilik between Ben-Gurion and Begin, which Begin and Jabotinsky could not see it as something that was distinct from Teres Yisrael, even though they weren't regular Shema Mitzvahs, but from Tanakh, and from the Messiah of the Ovis. And they saw it as the unfolding of the promises of Tanakh. In the world at large, the nationalism was a nationalism that came together with a radical suspicion for anybody outside the Dalai Lama's, that came together with all kinds of right-wing, very, very, very dangerous and very violent ideologies and so on. It wasn't a fulfillment of Tanakh. But there's no question that had an influence on them. You can't argue with that. For sure, they were influenced by the ruach that was there at that time. Tremendous ruach of... And nationalism itself is connected to idealism. There was an idealism, but it spilled over into such tumah, into such crazy, which it did with secular Zionism as well. Rav Kook was very much against secular Zionism as an ideology, as a movement. We're not talking at all about Zionism, secular Zionism, as an ideology, which Rav Kook saw as Avodah Zarah, as idolatry. In other words, if we're going to be Stam nationalists like the Goyim, then we are going to descend into that Avodah Zarah of nationalism. Rav Kook was speaking to the generation because he saw a generation that still had warm feelings, or that were still angry enough about Cheder. It's the same thing. Were still angry enough about Yiddishkeit that... We don't have to lose them to secular Zionism. We don't have to lose them to the kfir and to the zara of European nationalism and all the other movements at that time, which Begin grew up in Beitar and so on. So the fight of the new generation for Hadar, for majesty, and for pride, and there's no question, was influenced by what was going on in Europe, Bechlal, in the world. And that was very much something that motivated the new generation. But Rav Kook saw it in that the kedusha of the great neshama of the generation, and if the entire world was longing to return to have a place, that too fits into the scheme of Pnimi Satar, not just the Jews returning, but Pnimi Satar. So we'll just end with this. Mitzvah, we'll continue, we'll finish this Hakdama next week and we'll start to learn the Sefer. So the question that we asked at the beginning and we're ending with now is, so more than 100 years have passed. 108 years have passed since this was written. Since Hador was written. And this generation, the generation that we're in now, seems to be submerged in selfishness, in the Prat. It seems to be submerged in katness, in smallness, in chumrius, in materialism. So is this maimer of Hador still relevant? Rav Kook was speaking to a generation that he saw as filled with godless. The generation, when we look at this generation, everywhere we turn, we see katnus, we see the prat, we see an unbelievable obsession with materialism. So, is the Maimer of Hador relevant 100 years later? So, Mitzvah, next week we'll just spend a few minutes addressing that question. And in order to address that, we need to understand what Rav Kook meant by the godless of his generation. And we will see that if there was godless in that generation, everything that Rav Kook was talking about 100 years ago is not only relevant now, but it's much, much more relevant now. And we'll see that with every sentence that we learn in the Sefer, that it's Kilu Rav Kook is speaking to us this moment in time. Mamish, this moment. Okay, so we'll continue Mitzvah next time.